All right, this is for you, Eileen. SOP 293. Today, we are answering your questions like Eileen's, like, hey, how come you're not numbered in your podcast anymore? And we have an interview with Michael Dell, who's the tech support guy over at Blueberry.com. And we're having a lovely discussion, feed burner versus PowerPress. What's the pros and cons?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the program, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing, all points in between, because everything you need to launch a successful podcast you can find over at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to contact me, I would love to hear from you. It's 888-563-3228 is our voicemail number. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can use the little button out of our website where it says send voicemail. Click on that if you have a microphone plugged in, if you're across the pond or things of that nature. It is a podcast, so I typically like that method the best. Or you can email me an MP3 file, or you can leave a comment out at the website if you're more of a typer. And we're just going to jump right into things today. We've got a long show. This is going to be longer, and I'm going to say this up front. We're going to get to the feed burner talk in a second. If you're brand new to podcasting, the discussion that I have with Michael Dell about feed burner is probably going to hit you right in the forehead. And don't feel bad if you go, I have no idea what these guys are talking about. Don't feel bad at all. If you ever tried to play a card game that you've never played, and you're like, people are going, oh yeah, I'm going to do this and, you know, take two and whatever. And you're like, what? And because you don't know the rules, you don't know the game, and you kind of feel stupid watching it. You're not stupid. You just haven't had it explained to you yet. So if you listen to that and you're new and you're like, oh, this sounds hard, I don't get it. No, no, no. You just haven't had it explained to you yet. And that's actually what I do out at theschoolofpodcasting.com. We've got step-by-step tutorials and things like that. But I'm going to have that at the end. We're going to start off with some questions. Let's start off with Eileen.
Hey, Dave. This is Eileen from basicblogtips.com. And I have a question about numbering podcast episodes. I noticed that a lot of podcasters do that. And I'm wondering if it's just an old school thing that has carried over from years gone by, or if it's something that I should even worry about doing. I notice you're not doing it on School of Podcasting. So thanks so much for taking my call. Once again, it's Eileen, and you can find my podcast at Miss Eileen Speaks. Thanks so much, Dave. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Eileen, thank you so much for that. And if everybody pulls up a chair, Grandpa will tell you back in the old days of podcasting, back in 2005, children, they made a thing called an iPod Touch. And this thing was like the size of your thumbnail. It, literally, unless you had like a really small thumb. And it was great for people. They would clip it to their belt or their bra or whatever, and they would go running. And it had a play button, and I don't even know if it had a fast forward button. I never had one. Now the new iPod Touches have a video screen on them, and it's an old school thing. But the problem was there must have been some sort of forward button, because if you played just your intro music, like in mine, if everything started off with, I forget what my theme song sounds like now. Oh yes, now I remember, it's the Paku. Paku, that thing. If every show started off with Paku, Paku, and then you'd hit next, and you'd hear Paku, Paku, and then you hit next, and you get the point, right? So it drove people nuts, because in some cases, if your intro was a minute and a half, you'd have to wait through a minute and a half to go, oh, I've already heard this. And then you'd hit next, and you'd hear Paku, Paku, it's the School of Podcasting. So people started saying, look, this is SOP, whatever. So people could know instantly, I've already heard this episode. And so the idea was to identify it as a way of if you've listened to it or not. Then that migrated to give them a number. And for the person that's not on an iPod Touch, because, you know, SOP 293, do I know if I want to listen to this or not? Give them a quick little table of contents. Here's what you're going to find. Because in some cases, people may go, you know what? I don't need to listen to that. And some people get really offended and they go, what do you mean? They're not going to listen to my episode. And they're like, no, they don't need to know about FeedBurner and PowerPress. You know, maybe they have already got that set up. They don't need it. And in this case, by giving them a table of contents, you're saving them time. And if somebody said, hey, Dave, how'd you like to have another half hour today to do whatever you want? I'd be like, thank you so much. So it's a way, that's what it's for. Now, here's the great thing that I wish I had done. I do a podcast called Weekly Web Tools at weeklywebtools.com. And not only did I give it the number, I gave it a date. Now, one of the cool things that you can do is if you make your content always evergreen, if you never say, like, I think a lot of my podcasts will do that. You know, today's podcast for, you know, what is today? February 11th, 2012. Today we're talking about such and such. Well, here's what's what shoots you in the foot about that. And if I had just said today on Weekly Web Tools, which is what I do now, we're going to talk about whenIwork.com. Now, if I had done that with every single one of my episodes, and I've done that show for about 3 years now, if I ever pod fade, I could, in theory, probably rotate show one and make it show four, and only those people that had been around forever would hear the repeats. And you're like, well, Dave, why would you want to do that? Because with that program, some of the items that I talk about have an affiliate program. And by hitting a new audience, or there's that possibility of annoying the old audience again, but you could basically run those again. It would sound like it's brand new. So in theory, and that actually there are even plugins that do that, that just select random posts and repost them. So I could literally put that thing on autopilot and just let it go. Not sure I like that idea because, again, tremendous potential to annoy your audience in that case, especially the very loyal audience that have been listening since day one. So, but I like to have my content now be evergreen. So that means no date stamping, things like that. Unless I just say in the podcast that today's February 11th, 2012, things like that. But that's a very long answer to your very quick question. Thank you, Eileen. Next up, we have Scott.
Hi, Dave. It's Scott here from the photographypodcast.com with a question. Could you break out podcast directories into three categories? The first would be the must-do mission-critical list of podcast directories. The second would be directories that would be good to do, but are not quite so mission-critical. And the final list would be the don't-waste-your-time-with-these, because they don't really bring anything to the table list. Thanks, Dave.
Scott, thank you so much for your question. It is kind of a moving target. The biggies, obviously, iTunes, still huge. Zoom Marketplace, you're like, wait, didn't they quit making the Zoom? Yeah, but they tie that into a lot of stuff. Their phones, it sounds like it's going into their phones. It's into the Xbox. Miro, M-I-R-O. I'll have links to these all out at the website. Stitcher, I get enough traffic from Stitcher. I'm not, you know, crazy the fact that they kind of squish my audio into a mono file, but, you know, I can live with that. Then you could put it in RIM, even though BlackBerry is having, you know, its troubles these days. Those would be the ones I would definitely hit. The ones that I used to say, in fact, let me go out there right now. We're going to do this live. Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. I would still submit them to Podcast Pickle and Podcast Alley. Podcast Alley's, their forum is down and has been down in yet another, and I know the FERF, the man that runs Podcast Alley, I'm not sure what the deal is there. I just know the forum was kind of overrun with spam. It's really, really hard to have a forum, to make a long story short. And I also know that the front page of Podcast Alley has not been updated in forever. So back in the day, again, children, before iTunes, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, I actually had one called Podcast Charts. And they're just not, I don't want to say they're not needed, but most people now, if you go, you know, let's say I want to go to Google and I'm looking for a, fitness podcast. You know, I type in fitness podcast and there's the Fitcast, there's health and fitness podcast, there's Geek Fit, there's bodybuilding.com. You know, fitnessrocks.org. The fun thing is so people are using Google People are using iTunes to find podcasts a lot. You know, that's probably the big one still, I think, is iTunes. But a lot of people just go to Google. And then there are things like when I use MyPod on my Android, I can do a search there and it'll find something. And with one button, I subscribe. Now, the one thing that Jason Van Orden of Internet Business Mastery just did a thing talking about how his podcast is actually now number one for, I believe it's Internet Business. And one of the things that really helped their Google ranking was having backlinks. And that's one of the things that I list to all of the podcast directories that are there. I've got actually a tool at the School of Podcasting that shows you how to do this in about 5 minutes that makes life super easy. Then rather than having to type everything over and over and over and over, it's really cool, makes it automated. And listing in all these, if nothing else, gives you a link back to your website, which may increase, may is the keyword, increase your Google rankings. So, and you just do it once. And so there is a great post at that Jay Walsh did at propodder.com. I'll put a link to this, top 50 podcast directories. And he went through, because a lot of these, you know, have gone by the wayside. Also at Podcast 411, there's a directory of directories. And so basically, Jay started with that and kind of whittled it down to make sure that they were still relevant and things like that. So you can, I'll put a link to that over at our website. So I kind of put them as there's these and the rest. So like I said, there's Miro, there's iTunes, Zune, and BlackBerry, better known as RIM. Those are the top four. From there, I would go with Podcast Pickle and then basically do a Google search for podcast directory and see what comes up. Because if I do that, directory, except I spelled it wrong. Yes, Google, that's what I meant. Podcastdirectory.com is one. They bring up iTunes, you know, and basically hit the top page of that and see what's there. But basically, I would start with those four and then the rest are what I call the rest. I don't know if it's hard to put in. I guess I would do that. I would start with those top four, Google podcast directory, maybe do the first two pages of that and then everything else after that. But I did like Jay's list. So, and they can boost your Google rankings. All right, next up, they came out. It's funny, I interviewed Michael and we're talking about PowerPress, and the week after I was actually going to put this interview out last week and then I had some things come up. And so since then, they've come out with a new version of PowerPress. And Michael talks about this a little bit. And the feature that he is talking about is called MetaMarks. And I'm going to read this from the PowerPressPodcast.com website. MetaMarks is a new feature included in PowerPress that provides content creators a means to distribute additional meta information with their media. Marks include audio, video, images, comments, advertisements, and more. Each meta mark may include a value appropriate to that mark as well as a web link. Meta marks are positioned by specifying the number of seconds when the mark should be used, displayed, along with a duration in seconds, how long the mark should be used and displayed. So here's what you can be used to do. You can display an image in your podcast during playback. Now, this is only going to be on your website, referring to the topic you are discussing in your show. You can optionally have a web link for additional information. This is going to be great for marketers. You can display a video in your video during playback, making it easy to insert an advertisement. And yes, the video can have a complimenting web link for more information. You can display text comment during playback of your media. This is great for leaving comments about the topic being discussed at the specified position and duration. So if you understand this, you could say, look, at the, you know, 7 minute mark and 13 seconds, put this on the screen. You can display a bookmark that allows users to jump to that position in your media. Now, I'm going to turn this on. And if you go out to the website and listen to this, you'll be able to jump to the different spots just on the website of this. And then I'll talk about it next week in next week's podcast. You can insert an advertisement tag to indicate to services where an advertisement is placed in your media. And you can include a lower third advertisement for placement in your video during playback and more. So I'm really excited to hear about this. Kind of bummed that there's no video, no how-to, no directions. It's kind of like, hey, here's what it does. And what you do is you go into PowerPress. And PowerPress does have a lot of settings. Realize you can turn a lot of these off. When you click on settings under PowerPress and WordPress, you have audio player options, video player options, and now you have a new checkmark that says Metamarks. And likewise, in the interview coming up here, there is a custom podcast channels and then category podcasting. And so with that, we are now going to get into, this is about a 20-minute interview with Michael. And it really is talking about, you know, we used to use FeedBurner because it was the only game in town. And he's basically saying, hey, you know what? PowerPress can do anything and then some that FeedBurner can't. And when you use PowerPress, you do your RSS feed is on your website. You own it. Not that FeedBurner is ever going out of business, but you own it. And worst case scenario, if Blueberry gets hit by a bomb, you can actually get your web host to do a redirect. Well, first of all, the plugin would keep on working until WordPress updated enough to where it would be outdated. But you would, again, still be in control. Whereas if FeedBurner, which again is never going to happen, but if FeedBurner went out of business, there's no redirect. There's no way. You would basically have to recreate your feed, submit it to iTunes, and then basically turn off the other one. So it's an interesting conversation, and Michael's a great guy. I've met him a couple times. I saw him down at PodCamp Cincy. Great guy. And here is my interview with Michael. Well, let's talk about the pros and cons, at least for me, and probably one of the reasons why I still use it is, like many people, it was the first thing I used. You know what I mean? You kind of get that first thing under your belt. You get it, you know it, and you're comfortable with it, so you just keep using it forever. But I've always said it's handy in the event that you're let's say you're hosting on whatever, Jim's web hosting service, and Jim goes out of business. You can easily go in and move your WordPress, hopefully before Jim goes out of business, to another web host, and then just update the RSS feed in FeedBurner. And that's kind of the pro of it. But your point was, even though it's owned by Google, there is a chance that it could go out of business, basically, correct?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, you know how it's unlikely, right? Believe me. But my point was that if you have your own domain name, mm-hmm. well, no matter what hosting company you're on, the domain name address is going to be the same. So why not use a feed generated by you? Instead of using a feed owned and generated by somebody else. Now, FeedBurner back in the day, just a little history lesson.
Right.
Back in the day was almost necessary because, you know, a lot of us were rolling our own RSS or, you know, and then we weren't putting in, as you call them, the little sprinkles that iTunes likes.
Right.
And the other thing that was going on was there was a lot of free podcast hosts out there. And, you know, we all know that the business plan of free doesn't last very long.
Nope. That is true.
So, you know, back then or even now, if you're using, you know, Podbean or, you know, the free service there or Blog Talk Radio and numerous other places, well, yeah, definitely use FeedBurner because, you know, they're going to either go away or you're going to get tired of them.
Right. Not to mention the fact that they're going to be nice and try to do a favor for you and submit your stuff to iTunes for you. And you're like, no. That doesn't
Isn't
work.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Please don't do that. And one of the ways that that you can do this, you can get your stuff in iTunes. You can add the sprinkles, as Michael has said. I've always said that, you know, you basically have a basic RSS feed from your website. The problem is iTunes wants the super jumbo deluxe version of RSS. It wants these special tags. And so one of the ways you can do that is FeedBurner. And now the other one is a plugin, a plugin that I highly recommend called PowerPress. I've just never used the iTunes portions. I do on one of my podcasts, but typically I stick with FeedBurner. And I guess one of the pros of that, if we just kind of compare FeedBurner to this, is with FeedBurner, there's a limit of, I believe it's 256K. Is that right? Do you know?
I'm not positive. You're talking to the feed size?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 512.
512, right? That's it.
And that's actually RSS2 standard. That's not that FeedBurner or anything.
Okay.
That is the RSS2 spec. Mm-hmm. If your feed is larger than that, some places that use the feed will take a bigger feed, but you know, if you're going to do it right to RSS2 spec, it's 512K or less.
Gotcha. So if I'm using PowerPress, I'm basically going to have that same limitation then.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's not a feed burner thing. All right. And then is there any, do you have any tips on that? Because people come to me and go, well, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you basically what I usually do is reduce the number of episodes in my feed. But I mean, does it matter if your, you know, graphics are big or small, or what kind of takes up your feed? What's the biggest problem with that?
It's the number of entries. You know, the biggest thing, like, okay, if you're using PowerPress, for instance, that it generates a feed that's not your WordPress feed. It's not, you know, in, you know, say your website.com/feed, which is the one that's generated by WordPress. PowerPress generates a podcast only feed. So if your blog post, you know, you're doing text posts and podcast posts, you know, that all counts against your, you know, whatever limit you set for the number of entries in your feed. So say you have 50 episodes in your feed and then you have 25 text posts. Well, there's only going to be 25 podcast episodes in your main WordPress feed, but there'll be 50 in your podcast only feed because it ignores the text posts, just like iTunes ignores the text posts if it gets any.
Right.
And the way to keep your feed smaller is to, you know, just, you know, we recommend between 50 and 100 in your feed as far as podcast episodes. It's purely the text. There, you know, it doesn't matter if you're sending out 3-hour podcasts or 1-minute podcasts. Each entry is going to be approximately about the same size in your feed.
Right, and I would think it's the same with images. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, a big, you know, 500 by 500, you know, pixel picture or not, because really in the feed, it just puts the information where that picture is, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's not, you're not actually sending the picture in the feed per se. You're sending a link to it that all the RSS readers understand, and then they go find it on the web.
Well, you bring up a great point, because what I always recommend to people is to set up a category. I usually call it podcast. And then, like my feed is typically whatever your website is /category/podcast/feed. And that'll give you a feed that just has anything that you put in as a category of podcast and then throw that into FeedBurner. Now, what I've noticed, and it doesn't really matter how you set it up in FeedBurner, when it gets to iTunes, it always says the name of your show and then a right pointing caret and it'll say podcast. It picks up that category. Which means it's no big deal. You go into to FeedBurner and you use a thing I think called TitleBurner, and you can say, here's the name of my podcast, and you type in your description again, and all is well. How does that work with PowerPress?
Well, actually, we have two different ways, three different ways of doing that, actually.
Okay.
We support category podcasting, which is basically the exact same thing that you're doing with just WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
Except for you can go into the category podcasting setup part of the plugin and put all your feed titles and everything, you know, how you want it to show up in iTunes or other directories or even on apps. You can do it that way. Or what I recommend personally is instead of doing categories, do podcast channels. You know, say you want to run one WordPress installation, but you want three distinct feeds. So you have an audio and a video version, and you have, you know, maybe a summary version. I don't know. You know, say you have three different podcast feeds you want to do.
Right.
If you do it, instead of doing it in categories, if you do it in channels, there'll be a separate podcast entry box on each post, and you just post the media into whichever channel you want it to go out on. And you have a whole lot more control that way than letting WordPress take care of it.
Very interesting. I don't know if I've ever... I'll have to go in and dig into that.
Channels are very very useful for, you know, especially if you have multiple versions. You know, like, right. I know, you know, a lot of the people on the Tech Podcast Network, for instance, they have an audio, a video, and sometimes they have an HD video feed. I don't know about you, but I hate it when somebody puts video in an audio feed or audio in a video feed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Right. So this way you can separate it. You can have them all three in one post. and there's three separate feeds going out, one for each particular format. But that's called podcast channels. That's you have to activate that by checking a box there in the PowerPress setup.
Is that new?
It's a couple of years anyway.
Okay. I might actually be using that. And I just don't remember it.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's talk about that worst case scenario, because one of the things we always say, you know, what if Google does this, or what if Google, you know, starts charging for FeedBurner or something like that. But let's go worst. You know, Google says, you know what, we did this RSS thing. We don't really know what we're going to, you know, we tried Google Buzz. It didn't work. We don't want to be in FeedBurner anymore. So they just kill it. So at that point, unless I'm wrong, there's nothing in iTunes, because typically, like if I have to switch somebody's feed and they haven't used FeedBurner, I will actually start PowerPress, because you can go into PowerPress and basically get iTunes attention in some cases, depending on how you have it set up, to say I have a new feed. But with FeedBurner, there's nothing. iTunes is looking at FeedBurner, and unless, you know, the blessed hearts of Google decided to have some tool to let people redirect it, everybody would basically be screwed, right?
Yeah, you know, and the chances of that are nil. Right. In fact, Google's really good about if they close something down, they give you a chance to either redirect or get your data off of there. So, you know, like I said, the chances of this, it's all speculation, but you know, the chances of that happening are pretty nil. But
it's still a chance.
The way you do that, like in the future, say you are on. For instance, Blog Talk Radio, just mm-hmm. say, or whatever, something like that.
Right.
And you want to change that feed mm-hmm. to, you know, go to your WordPress feed. Really no good way of doing that. That's the whole point, you know, that we're trying to avoid with both FeedBurner and just doing it yourself.
Right.
But if you're stuck on something like that, there's no way to get Apple to redirect your feed for you. You know, their tech support, you might as well throw your message into a black hole.
Or a bottle.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, the same thing. I mean, insert Podbean, Podomatic, all those places that are nice enough to submit your stuff to iTunes for you. You don't realize it at the time, but you've just married yourself to those people.
You know, and that's the sad thing about it. At least, Libsyn and a few of the other people will allow you to do a redirect, mm-hmm. which is nice. You know, so if you use Libsyn's all-you-can-eat podcast setup, you know, where they do your blog, they do everything, you know, they submit your feed to iTunes, they will allow you to put a redirect in when you leave them, which is admirable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, same with Blueberry. If somebody was, you know, we have the same sort of service where you can just run everything right off of Blueberry.
Right.
We recommend that, but we put it in there because, you know, some customers want that. You know, they're not super serious about it. But if they become serious about it, we'd be more than happy to throw a redirect in for them.
Well, that's cool. Again, it's very admirable. Well, I guess one of the things that, again, if we go into the area of, you know, probably not going to happen, but it could, since Angelo is the man behind the plug-in, I guess, you know, what happens if Angelo, you know, God forbid, gets hit by a bus or something?
Well, the beauty of PowerPress, the way it was designed, is you could totally take it out of WordPress, you know, totally deactivate it, mm-hmm. and your podcast feed is stored the exact same way as WordPress does it. So whoever, you know, comes out with another plug-in, if they follow those same rules, it should be no problem to import that into the new plugin. Right. But, you know, chances are if something actually happened where Angelo was no longer around, probably just hire another developer to take over, you know.
Right.
You know, he's not easily replaced, don't put that right. way. But
no, he's a great guy, too. Well, the other thing I guess I should point out is worst case scenario, there is a feature in PowerPress to actually redirect the feed. So if iTunes is looking at PowerPress, you can actually tell PowerPress, hey, point it, when iTunes looks here, you point it over there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And on top of that, you know, if you own your domain name, you just put in a 301 redirect. You can read about that on the forums. But yeah. Anyway, 301 redirect, where, you know, if anybody hits this particular feed, then go look at this other feed. And iTunes will pick that up almost instantaneously. You know, they're slow about everything else, but a 301 redirect, I've had to do that on certain, you know, for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how quickly they pick up on that. They completely forget your old feed and, you know, then it's moved. And wow. That's the only effective way. Or if you're already on PowerPress and you wanted to change feeds for some reason, you know, just don't get rid of the domain name right away. And
right.
And there's a spot to fill out iTunes redirect right there in PowerPress that will redirect the feed to whatever other feed. And yeah, there's people that change the name of their show, so they change their domain name.
Right.
And that's the way they can migrate over to another domain.
Got it. Any other creative things that maybe people aren't aware that PowerPress does?
Well, we've got a new version of PowerPress coming out, which is pretty cool. And there's a thing in there that's similar to, I don't know if you remember, enhanced podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
It'll do a similar thing where you could have like chapters in your podcast. So if somebody's on your website listening, you know, with the player, you know, you could have, you know, well, if you don't want to listen to this, you know, click forward and it'll forward to the next bookmark sort of that you put in your podcast. So that's one of the new features. Some of the other stuff that it'll do. We've got the HTML5 player now.
Right.
That's with the last version that came out, or the last couple of versions, that falls back to Flash if need be.
Right.
And that's really handy because iPods, iPads, you know, iPhones, Androids, whatever, will all play it right there in the, you know, in the web browser.
Right.
Which is definitely kind of handy.
You talked about people playing stuff on their website. Do you have any kind of stats in terms of what percentage of people download versus how many people listen on their website? Because I think it's actually, anytime I ever hear any kind of information about this stat, it's always more than I think it is.
Yeah, it just depends on the type of show. You know, if you're doing a geeky tech show, well, chances are you're going to have a pretty low percentage.
Right.
I don't have exact numbers. I know on my personal podcasts, it runs about 25% that are playing on the page.
Hmm.
But that stat, you know, with our Blueberry media stats, which is free, by the way, the plays in page doesn't only track what is played on your page, but it tracks what's played on other people's pages. There is an embed code, kind of similar to what YouTube does. Well, with PowerPress, there's you can enable an embed link, so people could embed that on their web page, or put it out on Twitter, or put it out on
Facebook.
You know, any sort of social network.
Very cool.
And that's where that stat plays in page. That includes all the embedded.
Very cool. You had actually brought up the media stats. What are the conditions that people can use that?
Well, for free, as long as you either agree to accept advertising from Blueberry, and then we don't put it in there. We ask you can turn it down if you want and all that. So it's not like a forced advertising or pre-rolls or anything.
Right.
As long as you're open to the possibility of taking advertising, or you don't have any advertising, or you have your advertising that you set up yourself and not from another network. Other than that, it's free, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so if somebody has like an affiliate program and they're promoting that, is that considered advertising?
Yeah, it's advertising, but you're setting that up yourself, and as long as it doesn't compete. You know, and the only reason we changed that, condition of, mm-hmm. of the free, used to be just free, period, mm-hmm. whatever. And we had a couple of networks that adopted our stats and were putting a pretty good strain on the system, but yet they wouldn't accept any advertising. They weren't, paying anything. And so that's really the only reason. So, I mean, as long as you're reasonable about it, you know, nobody will care.
Got it.
And, you know, and that is the official line. It just, the problem is, like I said, there was people that were taking major advantage of that. And the paid stats are only $5 a month.
Right.
So, you know, so it's not like you know, really big. If you want to do a lot of advertising or whatever, then, you know, pony up $5 a month and do what you want.
There you go.
Like I was saying before, the business model of giving away free doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. We you know, we have to have some income coming in. And, you know, we don't make ton on the stats. We don't make a ton on hosting. You know, our job at Blueberry is to sell advertising for podcasters, you know, and we do fairly good job at it. I don't know what the exact stat is on that either, but.
Right. But the good news is you're not going away.
Yeah, we're not going away because we're actually, you know, like everybody, you know, I get this complaint every once in a while. One of our major competitors will charge us $5 a month for what we charge $12 a month for.
Right.
But the reason we charge $12 a month is because that's what it costs.
Right.
You know, they're doing it as a loss leader for other services, which is fine, but it's not sustainable.
Right.
Talk to anybody involved that, you know, if you sell something for less than what it costs you,
yeah, eventually
and you're not getting major sales from somewhere else, yeah, it's not sustainable. And I think this competitor is probably doing all right in other areas, so that's cool.
Right. Interesting. All right. Well, anything else we should talk about that we've talked about? I appreciate the insight.
You know, back to the original thing about Feedburner is, you know, the suggestion is own your own domain. I mean, it's $10 a year or whatever. You know, you can get it cheaper if you use promo codes from various sources. Right. And, you know, for $10 a year, you own your own feed. You own your branding. I mean, it doesn't say feedburner.com/whatever. It says your domain name .com/podcast/feed, whatever.
Right.
You know, that right there, there's your branding. It's also good for Google Juice.
Right.
You know, you're not pointing to an outside domain for things that are actually hosted on your, you know, through your account. So, you know, if you're at all serious about it, you're better off, you know, self-hosted WordPress with PowerPress. And like I say, the beauty of with Blueberry is you don't have to pay us a dime to use that plugin.
Right.
We build other services that are free. And there's a couple other plugins that we do. One's that subscribe plugin, which is kind of cool.
What does that do?
It just puts a widget in your sidebar with all your RSS feeds and iTunes and Zune links. And
right. Do you just get your iTunes link, you know, obviously from iTunes, and just stick that into the plugin somewhere so when people click on it, they're still subscribing through the normal Apple subscription?
Yeah. 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 All it is you get an iTunes ID when your podcast is approved by iTunes. You get that email. And that the last bunch of numbers in that is your iTunes ID. You stick that in the plugin. You also want to put that in PowerPress because that links your iTunes with PowerPress. And it makes it a whole lot easier, you know, for everything to update when it needs to.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah, but in this sidebar, subscribe sidebar plugin has that. And Angelo on his own come out with another plugin that's kind of cool. You might look up. It's a static RSS. Hmm. And what that is if you wanted to, instead of having your feed be, your domain name, /feed/podcast.
Right.
You can have it yourdomain.com/whatever-you-want-to-call-it.xml, and it'll be an actual file on your website. So that's even another way you could go using that static RSS plugin.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. So obviously you're a podcaster. We might as well let you plug your podcast while you're here.
Oh, yeah. I do three of them. I do Mike Dell's World, which was formerly the Benzoid Report.
All right.
That's just my stream of consciousness. Whenever I feel like it, I turn the mic on and talk.
Gotcha.
Play music, whatever. And then I do Geek of the North. That's over at geekofthenorth.com. That's a weekly tech video and audio, usually just tech chat and talk. But I don't talk about the normal stuff. You'll hear about tractor tech and aviation and automotive and
there you go,
all kinds of offbeat stuff.
Cool.
And then I do one called Retro Tech, which is I interview somebody once once every time I do it, it's not as regular as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But I interview people about what they remember about tech when they first got involved in it.
Wow.
And it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to say that's going to be a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
All right, Michael Dell. Well, thank you for your input. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time on a lovely Friday night. Hanging out, chatting with a buddy.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, man. And that is going to do it. Kind of a long show today due to the interview, but I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Eileen and Scott and everybody who had sent in their questions. Again, you can call them in, 888-563-3228. You can use the send voicemail button out of the website. That's courtesy of speakpipe.com. The voicemail is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or leave a comment out at the website at schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you are looking to get your podcast into iTunes, if you're looking to do anything, everything you need to start a podcast is out at the schoolofpodcasting.com. So thanks for listening, and until next week, class is dismissed. I'll see you on the inside.